You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I don't know what it means to feel accomplished for you, what your level of work that you have to do. But I have to brag on Jeff here for a second. A couple weeks ago, he did a triathlon. Was that all you, or did other people do the legs of the race for you? Yeah. All you? Look at that, guys. He did a triathlon. That's pretty cool. I'm lucky if I get three things done in a day. He did a triathlon. My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside Christian Church, and we've been going through this Live Generously series. And we've started these messages off the past 3 weeks with testimony videos. And these testimonies really came out of the idea of, if you could tell someone in two sentences, three sentences, when Jesus became real to you and who was the person that made Jesus became real to you, could you share your faith in that way? What would that look like? And those stories have been so exciting to hear, so inspiring to hear. And we showed those for the first time actually in July at the vision night that we had in early July, where we as a church, we said, hey, we want to catch a vision of who God wants us to be. And I think we overcomplicate that a lot. We get visions of buildings and projects and missions, and those things are all well and good, and they can do lots of great things. But if nothing else, we want to be a church, a spiritual family, where our neighbors know that we are Christ followers and they thank God for it. That our coworkers know that we love Jesus, and even if they don't believe, they're thankful for it. Our church exists so that people can meet Jesus. And so we film those testimony videos to remind us when we met Jesus. Sometimes we overcomplicate sharing our faith. It's like, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what that looks like. It's as simple as what Vicki Schaefer said in her testimony. When did I place my trust in Jesus? 2006, when I had a brain bleed. Somebody all of a sudden goes, whoa, you've got my attention. Tell me more about that, and tell me more about the Jesus that you've placed your trust in. We want to do that. What someone else has done for us, we want to do that for other people. You should, nearby you or in your seat, you should have a commitment card for Live Generously. So we did commitment cards for the first time last year where we said, hey, we want to commit to being a generous church, and it's time, it's talent, and it's treasure. We want to be generous with the grace that God's given us. But sometimes we need to remember. So here's what I want you to do at the start of my message. I want you on the front of this card to just take a second and write down who it was that made Jesus real to you. Okay, two sentences. Who was it that made Jesus real to you? And the second sentence is, when did you place your trust in Jesus? And whether you're doing it on that card or whether you're pulling out your phone and you're typing in a couple sentences in a note, I want that to be in the forefront of your mind, because we need to remember what it looked like for us if we are going to do that for someone else. So yeah, if you haven't already started, take the card out, take a second, think, and write down who it was that made Jesus real to you and when it was that you placed your trust in him. As you do that, I'm just going to recap the past couple weeks in our Live Generous series. So if you're writing, you can zone me out. I'll pull your attention back in. But if you're ignoring my request to write down your two sentences, you can tune in to me. We started off the series talking about treasure, right? Money is what we typically treasure, but what we talked about 2 weeks ago is that we talked about God really treasures people, and so we want to treasure what God treasures. But money is a tangible thing. You can hold it. You can put a number to it. You can say, this is how much I have. And so if people are really what God treasures, we want to treasure that, and we want to use our financial treasures to share God's love with the treasure that really matters. And then last week we talked about talents. And talents aren't something that you can physically, you know, touch or hold, but it is something that you can physically see. You can watch someone who's talented at something, and you can see their talents on display. And what we talked about last week was we talked about how God's amazing promise in Scripture is that He can bless areas of our lives where even where we don't feel adequate, we don't feel like we measure up, God can still bless that and do things with whatever talents we do have. When we're willing to serve and to share our talents with others, God can do incredible things through our acts of obedience. This week, though, we're rounding out our discussion of living generously with all we have by talking about something that you can't hold in your hand and you can rarely see it visibly. The best we really can do is create a measurement that helps us understand that it's slowly, or maybe if we're having a great day, quickly passing us by. Today, we're talking about time. Okay, if you're not done with your two sentences, press pause. I'm bringing you back. I said I was going to bring you back. Some of you might have just gotten lost in your own story there for a few minutes. It's pretty cool thinking about the roots that we have in our spiritual faith. But today, as we talk about time can be a little bit of a downer. Can it? It moves slow when we want it to move fast, and it moves fast when we want it to move slow. And once it passes us by, we don't get it back. Listen to some verses about time. This is James, Jesus' brother, chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Thanks for the encouraging speech, James. Right? Psalms 103. Psalms can be so encouraging, right? Verses 15 and 16. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. How's that for a pep talk for Monday morning? You doing okay, Parkside? It's like, man, time can be a downer. Think about the resources we've been discussing. Treasures, okay? With your treasures, if you run out of money, there's a lot of things you can do to get more of it, right? America has these incredible stories of people who have declared bankruptcy and come back to riches. We love those stories. Think about talent. If you aren't talented in something, right? If you aren't talented in something, give it some practice. Find a mentor and you can grow the skills. Just give it some time, some sweat equity. But time? You can't grow time. When you're born, you have more of it than you will ever have in your life. But now, you've got a little less. And now, you've got a little less. And some of you are thinking about the fact right now that every week you come and listen to me for 30 minutes, and you're not going to get that time back. Right? Time is a lifelong experiment. What you invest in your time in is what your life becomes. You don't get your time back. You only get what you exchange your time for. Like the scripture reads, you are just a mist. We are just blades of grass here on earth for a moment. What will you use your lives for here on earth? You like my forest? Yeah, you didn't realize that we brought in, I mean, we spared no expense this morning. We brought in a whole forest. Okay, it's not quite a forest. It's a bunch of oak trees, right? And someday, I hope they'll become big like those oak trees, right? We got these for our vision night. It was over 60 days ago. You won't be able to see it from here, but this is a little bur oak acorn. And it's got just a little bit of a radical, little bit of what will be an oak tree poking out there. And at the vision night, we took these and we planted them in the ground. Planted them and we came back And we watered them. And some of them grew, some of them didn't grow. For every single one that you see on stage, I'm sure there's two more that I had to throw away because they just rotted. But my family, we planted some at our house. I think my boys named them. I think this one's called King Bob. And the one that grew best at our house was named COVID, but we left COVID at home. So, yeah, Malachi, great naming things. But we had all these in my office and watered them and make sure that we're taking care of them. And actually, this week, we had a fire inspection in our building, and a firefighter came into my office and saw all these plants on my counters in my office, and he went, "What are you doing?" And I told him, I said, "I'm growing a forest." A little bit crazy. Just a little bit of crazy is good. Well, in year one of Live Generously, we gave everybody wildflower seeds. And the great thing about wildflowers is you plant them and you don't even have to hardly water them. If you put them outside in the ground, they're pretty much going to grow. And in a few weeks, you're going to have an amazing, you know, group of flowers wherever you plant them. And that was cool. And I mean, we were trying to get people to think about the idea of Matthew 9, 35 through 39. That Jesus looked out onto the people of Israel and he said, "Oh my gosh, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." He had compassion for them and he said, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers." And so we wanted you all to be thinking about what it looks like to plant seeds and water seeds, but wildflowers are easy. Sharing Jesus with other people can feel really difficult. And you know what? You can share Jesus with a lot of people and feel like nothing's growing. So we decided to do oak trees this year. I thought, how cool would it be if we started with these little acorns? And then someday we had these massive oak trees. And so I went online and I got acorns because it wasn't the time of year where acorns would be falling off the trees. And so I got these acorns from two different places just in case one batch wasn't good. And I asked my neighbor, I said, "Hey, you've got a friend who owns Ellis's Garden Center in Williamsburg. Can I get pots from him and some dirt?" And I was all ready for the vision night. And my neighbor came back to me and he said, "Hey, you know, Jay Ellis says that they can take care of that, but Jay's a little worried." I went, "He's a little worried? I'm buying something from him." And he said, "Well, I explained his idea to him, or your idea to him, and he's a little concerned that you're not going to grow anything." And I went, "I don't, it sounds a little crazy, doesn't it?" And so I did. I said, "Okay, well, let me go talk to him." And so I went, and Jay was sitting on the porch of the garden center, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" Introduced myself to him, and he goes, "So you're wanting to grow some oak trees?" "Yeah." And he goes, they're hard to grow." I said, "Yeah, I've read." And he goes, "Oh, you've read about it. That's good." And I said, "Yeah, I think we've got a plan." And he asked, he said, "You know, if you give everybody one acorn, chances are it's not going to grow." I said, "Yeah, our plan is to give everybody a couple, three or four." He goes, "Okay, that helps." And I said, "We're giving people instructions that say you got to soak them in water and then leave them in a dark place so that the rattle can emerge. And then you need to plant it in some dirt in a pot inside so the sun doesn't bake it." And he goes, "Yeah, you're right. You know, you've got to be careful. You got to be careful that something doesn't eat it. You got to be careful that it doesn't bake in the sun. You got to be so careful with these things. You got to water them. You miss a day and they can die." But as I shared with him the thought that went into it, he went, "Okay, okay." And at the end, he went, "You know, you might end up with some oak trees." Sharing Jesus isn't easy. It takes time and it takes a lot of effort. And after all of that, there still might not be anything that grows. With all of that in mind, the only difference between these guys, between King Bob and his buddies, and these trees, is time. If we care for these trees over the next few years, they could grow into something that is thousands of pounds and hundreds of feet high and even hundreds of years old. These trees on stage could outlive everybody in this room if we choose to take care of them. I want you to take out the commitment cards that you wrote your stories on. And I just want you to hold it, keep it in your hands the rest of the time that we're talking this morning. For us, these are reminders to take care of these, right? We need a reminder that we need to be committed to live generously so that we can have spiritual oak trees, so that we can have spiritual forests in our lives. We need to be doing all we can by whatever means we can to share the gospel with all the people we can to help them grow. If we're going to grow oak trees, it's going to take time. Think about that for just a second. Where have you been investing yourself in growing someone else? Where have you been generous with yourself so something that couldn't make it on its own, would not likely make it on its own, is growing? As we talk about how valuable time is, I want to share a story with you. I want to read a story from Scripture that Jesus told his disciples 2 days before he was arrested and crucified on the cross. It was the same week of the Passover. He was in Jerusalem. It's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This is the story he told them just days, just hours before he'd be crucified for all of mankind. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have become faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw out that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Does your Bible have a heading for this story? If you're reading it on your phone, or if you have one of those old-fashioned Bibles, right, the one that's not on your phone, the one you hold and open and can turn pages on, does it have a heading? My heading says the parable of the gold bags. Parable of the bag of gold. You know what some Bibles give it the heading of, though? The parable of the talents. Right? Last week we talked about how the word talents, before it meant that you were gifted at something, that you were really good at something, it used to mean that it was a unit of measure, a unit of weight. Somebody who was talented really measured up. So you might look at this story, you might read along with it, and think to yourself, this isn't about time. This is about talents. I disagree. I don't think so. Talents and treasure are part of it, but they're not what the story's about. Verse 15 says, the master gave bags of gold to each person based on their abilities and skills. So since each of them got five bags, two bags, and one bag respectively, it shows they have different amounts of abilities. And since each of them got different amounts of money, it has to do with the master's treasure too. But each person's talents and treasures were different. But do you know what the constant was? Do you know what each of them had the exact amount of? Yeah, some of you said it. Time. The constant in the story was time. The first two servants took what they had, they took the skills they had, and they invested their time. The third servant, though, the way he chose to use his time was a waste of his talents and treasure. He did not invest his time. Each and every one of us has been given different amounts of treasures and talents. And some of us are really, you know, feeling proud of ourselves that we have more talents and more treasures than others. And some of us are really upset with the fact that we don't have the treasure or the talents as others. But none of us knows how much time we have. None of us knows how much time we have. Are we using our time in a way that increases the impact of whatever treasures or talents we do have? Are we using our time to bury what God has given us? Or are we using our time to plant and to water what God has put in our lives? What's going to grow from the way you invest your time? Will anything good grow? What are you planting with your time that will outlast you? Is it good? Does it reflect God to others? God wants us to be generous with our time. Last week we had one of our favorite people here, one of our own, Lori Merwin, was here from Florida. She works with New International now. And Lori has been working on a pineapple project. I think we've got a couple pictures of this pineapple project. You can see there she is with one of her pineapples. She planted pineapple trees down in Florida. They'll grow there. And she's got a pineapple from a pineapple tree that she planted. And that takes time. So I asked her about it, and she said, hey, one of my pineapple trees gave me a pineapple in the first year. One gave me a pineapple in the second year. And one hasn't given me any fruit at all. You can see a picture. She's got a little baby pineapple that's growing. Yeah, there we go. She planted them, she watered them, and she's invested the time in letting them grow. She's cared for them, but the rest of the time is out of her control. It's not something, she can't just stare at it. She can't yell at it and tell it to grow. She can't put it in the microwave and say, grow faster. Just like these took 60 days to get to the place where they're at, one of her plants bore fruit right away. One, it took some time. And one, she's still waiting, but she's still watering all of them. The key tags that we gave you at the tables the past few weeks say, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes them grow. As we try and be a church that is generous, we need to be planting and watering seeds. As we step into the harvest, we can't make these things grow, but we can work the harvest. We can invest our lives. Regardless of your talent or your treasure, God wants you to be generous with your time. Are you planting? Are you watering? Who did you spend time with this week so that they could know more about who Jesus is and what his love is like? Who did you invite into your home? Who did you spend time in your yard with? Who did you press pause on that project at work so that you could hear how their family's doing? If God's the one who makes things grow, we just have to keep showing up and planting and watering seeds. It's hard growing oak trees. One of the reasons that it's hard is that we can plant and we can water, but we can't make them grow. And so we just have to be faithful in planting seeds whenever we can and watering seeds with whatever time we can. I want to come back to this commitment card one more time. I hope you've taken the time to fill this out. I hope you've taken the time to pray over it the past few weeks. If you've filled it out and completed it today, I want you to put it in one of the green dots as you head out of here. I hope you have, though. Because this isn't just about us paying off the mortgage. Yeah, we want to pay off the mortgage. We want to get that sucker gone so that we can be generous in even bigger ways. But this is so much more. This is about each of us reaching our potential of who God wants us to be as workers in his harvest. And it's not something we finish, though, the moment we finish the mortgage. It's not like the mortgage is done and we've paid off that $900,000 we have left and we dust our hands off and we forget the oak trees. Once we get that out of the way, it gives us even more talent, more treasures, more time to be busy investing in the spiritual lives of other people. We want to do that so that we can be that for someone else. Parkside is blessed that is who we've been in so many ways. We've been generous people. I hope we are generous people, and I hope we will be generous people. But we've been blessed to have so many mighty, big oak trees at Parkside. They usually come to second service, but this week, Lowell and Jane Jackson celebrated 65 years of marriage. How cool is that, right? It's just powerful, such big pillars of the faith through simple acts. You know, they've led churches, they've led ministries, but I think maybe one of the most important things they've done in planting and watering seeds is the calls they made to their Sunday school classes, the calls they made to their friends and neighbors, just seeing how they were and letting them know that they were praying for them. How powerful is that? What are we planting today as an investment in tomorrow? Some Sunday, I'd really encourage you. You could do it this morning. You could do it some other time, sometime soon. Just come into one of the entrances and become a fly on the wall. Just watch. Watch people's faces. Watch their conversations. You're going to see a lot of things. You're going to see people that you haven't met before. You're going to see people that are retired. You're going to see elderly people. You're going to see young families. You're going to see young children, little kids going down to Parkside Kids to learn more about who Jesus is, starting their faith story. You're going to see teenagers that are having their faith challenged in the first time, first way, and it's becoming real to them. You're going to see young professionals who are stepping out into a world that has challenges of its own, and they're starting their lives. Young saplings, big enough to stand on their own, but not through the woods yet. There's a lot of incredible people here at Parkside. I really encourage you to invest your time, your talent, and treasures in watering and planting them. My family went for a walk in the woods the other day at a trail in New Richmond, and the trail wrapped around this one tree that had two massive trunks, right? Almost kind of like, you know, Jane and Lowell, this amazing life that's been lived, this amazing tree together. But the trail wrapped around it because they wanted you to see this incredible tree. In a couple days, I'm going to take all these little guys out to Woodland Lakes Christian Camp, and they've got a space that we're going to be able to plant them that hopefully they don't get mowed over. Hopefully, you know, somebody doesn't walk on them. But I would love if my grandkids, just like we went on a hike, my grandkids could come to Woodland Lakes Christian Camp, to summer camp some summer, and their granddad could come and take them and show them the forest that we planted all the way back in 2022. Yeah, we grew those. Your mom, your dad, we planted those. Your grandparents, we took care of them in my office. People thought I was crazy. It'd be so cool. But there's something more that I want to grow besides oak trees. I want to have grandkids and great-grandkids that know Jesus. And Parkside, in 30 years, if there's a building that has Parkside on it, that's great. But I care more about the people that are inside it. And my hope and prayer is that in 30 years, there will be mighty oak trees in this church for my grandkids and the grandkids in this community to be raised up in, where they can know the amazing depth and width of the love of Jesus. Let's build our tomorrow by investing in the eternity of those around us. Will you dream of walking through the woods with me? Will you dream of something far beyond us, coming far after us, getting to enjoy the strength of the faith that God has planted in our midst? Parkside Christian Church, generous with everything we have. We're going to enter into a time of communion now. And if you didn't get communion as you came in, you can grab it. Actually, my family collected a bunch of acorns, and so if you want to grab an acorn and take it home, you can plant your own acorn. It's going to take a while, though. But let's remember that Jesus came and lived among us. He died on a cross for us, and he was planted in the ground for us as well, so that we might have life. And he conquered death so that we could have life abundantly. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. And God, I thank you for all you've given us, your amazing generosity. And so God, as we pray over these commitment cards and as we have a time of communion where we remember you, Lord, just help us to not rush through it. Help us to use this time to make decisions in this time that will have ripples through all eternity. That our kids, that our grandkids, that people that we don't even know will come to know your goodness, your love in a life-changing way because of seeds we plant in water, conversations we have, small acts of service. And thank you so much, Jesus, for what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.